Welcome, 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 everybody. Yeah, it is the Sunday night's main event, Money in the Bank after party. Hello, patrons. I'm Jason Agnew, of course, joining me tonight, as per always, after an extra long pay-per-view. Dan the Mouth Lavransky is chuckling. I don't know how many beers he's had at this point, but there's one in his hand.
And, this was a many beers pay-per-view, Jay.
Well, here's the thing. You know, there was a lot of good stuff on tonight's show. There was a lot of interesting things on tonight's show because they had the time for it, Mouth.
Well, you know,
more is more.
Well, you know what I really felt? I really felt that they were really, they're like, this is our first big show in front of a live audience, and we are going to milk this for all it's worth. We are going to make every entrance 65 times longer. We are going to stretch things out because we've got a really super hot crowd. Like, there was so much on this show. We saw things that never happen in matches, because these guys wanted to play to the crowd so much. It was unbelievable. And to me, it just drawed the show out way too long.
Yeah, it was. I mean, listen, it's nice that they have crowds back, but it did feel a little bit long. And I think that there was a crescendo that happened, and then I checked out right afterwards. It was right as Mark Andrada posted it on the Facebook page saying, guys, great show. See you at the after party. And I felt the exact same way. And I will tell you where that is as we get into it. Well, welcome everybody that is listening live right now. And to Ron, I can see your comments. Hey, buddy, I'm already complaining because it's 11:30 and that's half an hour longer than I wanted to be watching this show. So Ron, get out of here if you don't like it. All right. Now we're going to get very interactive.
Hello, everybody.
Show. And you, of course, can have your say as well. But as we always do, and we have for many, many years, Mouth and I will run it down first and give you some of our opinions because there was some great stuff on tonight's show. All right, Ron, get out of here. So we're going to start things off with the pre-show. Liv Morgan was spotlighted on this. Did a Q&A with the panel, kind of started to cry a little bit, and it really felt like they were pushing her and spotlighting her. Thankfully, she did not come out the winner, but it made it look like she was winning tonight, and I guess that was the intention of having that interview segment. Becky Lynch was also tweeting out photos about being at the arena and taunting fans tonight, which at that point, I realized that my dream would not be coming true, Lavransky.
That's
and
right.
My prediction was not going to be happening once she did send out just one of those photos, because you knew she wouldn't do that if that was the case and that was going to happen. On the pre-show, one that we kind of made fun of this afternoon, at least you did, the Usos and the Mysterios, a very repetitive match. I really didn't expect anything to happen with this match. I was completely wrong. They did one of the things by putting this on first, Mouth, is they were taking advantage of an extremely hot crowd.
Yep, yep.
They did an entrance vignette with the Mysterios.
Yeah, what was that? They went through some boom tube or something into the future? What was going on with that? That was so bizarre.
Yeah, even more bizarre was Dominic coming out either wearing a Jason mask from Friday the 13th or maybe a Slapjack's old mask that he had done a slight repaint on.
He doesn't need it anymore.
Either one. It looked like he had purchased it at Toys R Us. In this one, surprisingly, we have the Usos coming out as the champions here.
Why is that a surprise? That's not a surprise to me.
No, that was a surprise to me. I just didn't think
to put all the titles. To put all the gold back on the bunch of them. I wasn't surprised by that at all. I thought, in fact, that I wasn't surprised they would do that at all, to get the belts back on them. And now Reigns is going to defend his title and they've got all the gold.
I mean, it does look good and it's good for the faction. I think because it was on the pre-show, I didn't expect them to make the swap. There's a cat in front of you, right, Lavransky.
My cat Lucy was, I guess, is interested in how the pay-per-view went or whatever.
Okay. So these are the things you get to experience live, friends, when you
that's when it. When we're in our home.
To
right?
watch the home. Show.
Yeah.
I mean, it does make sense. The only reason why I was surprised, because it was on the pre-show and they would make the swap. However, it does make sense because you want to give, I guess, this big moment to the crowd for the first match that is out there as well.
Well, that's it too. Exactly. Right. Like, again, you could tell they put a lot of time into thinking where to put things to get the maximum out of the crowd, because they knew the crowd was going to be hot. And that, that's this is a classic example. Get them hot right off the gate with a title change.
Couple things here. Jimmy Uso's DUI really does not matter and will not be getting in front of any plans.
This is amazing. It never the WWE never mentioned it. They never acknowledged it. Nothing's been done. He hasn't been punished. Like, he's in a top angle. He won the titles. Like, yeah, it sounds like you should go out and do it more often.
I'm sure he does and just doesn't get caught. Anyhow, so Ray lost here. Ray took the pin. Do you think, Mouth, can they help themselves from making that the beginning of the turn of Dom on Ray because Dad lost the titles?
You think that's it already? They split them up already? Maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
It's been a while in WWE land.
I guess so. I don't know. I can't say it's really a program I want to see.
Me neither. Money in the Bank pay-per-view kicks off at that point. Hey, did you notice, Mouth, all night long, they went out of their way to show highlights, not just of other Money in the Bank matches, but other moments that were significant to these performers. But one thing I kept taking note of, none of them happened in the past year. I really felt that they were trying to showcase the world before the pandemic hit with all of their clips, as well as what was going on tonight.
Right. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Because most of it was stuff with full on crowds. And we saw very little from the pandemic period. So, yeah, you're there. Again, they've got crowds back. So they're good at erasing parts of their history, Jay, as we know. Right. So they'll just maybe the last year and a half just disappears altogether.
Well, Matthew does bring up here that they did show a clip of the women's match of last year. And that is one that should also be erased. No mention of the men's match.
Yeah, and I'm surprised they brought that up on top of the building and all that silliness from last year. I would have just, I didn't really remember that until they showed the clips tonight. They should just keep quiet about that stuff.
Women's Money in the Bank match kicks us off tonight. Alexa Bliss comes out. Her wardrobe has changed again, all kind of latex-like. She pulls off her skirt, gets one of the many big pops of the night. They show her highlights of winning the Money in the Bank and cashing in on Nia again, something that happened many years ago. Liv Morgan comes out. I believe she was borrowing Tegan Nox's oversized plaid shirt. We then get Nikki A.S.H., not Ash, Natty, Tamina, Zelina Vega, Naomi, and Asuka. You picked Zelina Vega. I picked Becky Lynch, and neither one of us was right with this match.
And the person that did win, I think, was probably very low on any of our lists for someone that would win. This was a complete surprise to me. This is the first match where I really felt they were stretching the entrances deliberately. The entrances to this match took forever. Like, it was just way, way, way too long. I don't care if you've got the best crowd in the world there. This was way too long on entrances and stuff. In terms of the match itself, it was okay. I thought the ladies worked okay. Natty was like the crazy workhorse in this match, I thought. I thought she was really the working hard to try to get stuff done and make people work.
You notice how much Tamina was getting booed? Tamina had all the heat in this match. Fans, it's funny because they got the belts because of the reaction that was given to Tamina at WrestleMania, and now the crowd has gone completely the other
opposite.
Way.
Yeah,
and care for these two at all, in particular Tamina.
Yeah, they were booing her pretty big time for sure. But I mean, they did the usual crazy spots. Nikki A.S.H. there did the dive off the ladder to all of them on the outside. Alexa did the Sister Abigail at one point. So there's still that connection to Bray Wyatt with this character, which I found interesting.
Well, it's a modified Sister Abigail.
Yeah.
Did you not notice? She reaches her hand around differently and spins differently now.
It's still
also
the same
she's
move.
Still able to hypnotize Mouth.
Yes.
Did you notice that lovely spot?
Yes, we had a goofy, dumb spot where it was at Zelina, wasn't it? Was climbing the ladder and she hypnotized her. Yeah, that was kind of stupid. Again, they had the three ladders up at the end. They were all climbing. All of them were up there. And then all of a sudden, Ash just climbs up over top of them and grabs the briefcase and brings it down. So I'm very surprised. I don't even know where they're going to go with that, with this. And I see this as one of those ones where we have a failed cash-in attempt.
Well, a few things here with this. I mean, we missed the spot where everyone got together to bury Alexa under six ladders on that the outside.
Her. Right. That took
and
her
that
out of the
took
match.
Her out. So right. I'm kind of thinking that what we are going to get out of here, at least to start, is Nikki Cross doing a program with Alexa and a typical good versus evil thing, I think, is what we're thinking. The right. briefcase might just sit there for a while because, you know, after what we saw later, I definitely don't see Nikki Cross getting in the face of Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
Nor
yeah,
could she yeah. get up to that level. She'd have to climb onto something.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out because I don't think anyone was expecting her to win. So I'm curious to see where they're going. And if you go somewhere with her and Alexa Bliss, that doesn't even really lead to like a title program unless they feud over the contract.
They could very well do that.
Right.
For me, this match was safe, which was good, but it was very average. The winner was anticlimactic. And
the
then
entrances
when we got
were way
to
too long.
Yeah, when we got to the top of the ramp, Nikki was crying as she stood atop the ladder at the top of the ramp. So many, many tears tonight. But I guess it is a big moment for her, almost a superhero, Nikki. There's a vignette of the Usos celebrating with Roman. They are there to remind them that, or Roman is there to remind them that their win was the easy part. The Usos say Roman is the head of the table. Roman says he's proud of them. Very much a uniting of this faction now. There's no more infighting between them. So clearly they are pushing down this road towards SummerSlam and I'm assuming towards WrestleMania as well. The Raw Tag Team Championships was the second match on the pay-per-view. The Viking Raiders versus AJ and Omos. For some reason, again, reminding of his crap we didn't need to be reminded of, they feel the need to show highlights of the Street Profits versus the Viking Raiders and the I'm Better Than You Are vignettes.
Oh, yeah, terrible. Yeah, you're right. Again, I had forgotten about that stuff completely until they showed those clips. And we haven't seen the Street Profits in like forever as well, right?
So, Montez is hurt.
Right, right. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that was kind of weird.
I one of the best moves of the night was in this match, Mouth.
Which one was that?
That was when they did a really nice spot where Eric was on the outside and AJ ran across the ring. He jumped into the arms of Omos. Omos then tossed Eric, and AJ gave him not just a dive. AJ gave him a hurricanrana outside of the ring.
That's right.
It was a well-worked spot by all three individuals.
But that was one of the few well-worked spots, I felt. Because I thought this match was really sloppy. I mean, AJ had to work most of it, right? They only put Omos in to do a couple big spots here and there, right? Like that one you just talked about. But I thought there was a lot of sloppy spots in this one with the Viking Raiders and that. And I mean, the crowd seemed to get into it, but I didn't really think it was that great of a match, and it really doesn't mean anything. They retain the titles as we kind of suspected.
I really noticed here, not only was the work kind of sloppy, but almost doesn't know how to sell. And I felt that was really exposed tonight when the Viking Raiders were double teaming him and the way they clotheslined him over the ropes.
Right.
He was already leaning over, turned the other way before they and helping himself out before they got there.
Right, right.
Almost did get the pin here, though. They gave him the big spot.
Yeah, they allowed him to pin Eric to keep the title. So, but, you know, again, to me, this was just a match on the show. It wasn't particularly good. It could have been on TV and it doesn't really mean anything.
Well, there could be a rematch on TV because they love the rematches. I am still curious because I still do see it's, you know, Riddle and Orton, unless they're going to feud them right away. Maybe they do give them a tag team run. It's just a matter of who are they going to feud with here? Is it going to be the Viking Raiders and are they going to get the titles and be transitional champions? Or are they going to have almost... and AJ feud against Riddle and Orton. I actually think that might be a better combination. Purely for the comedy of AJ, which I think would play off Riddle and Orton very well. And Orton being surrounded by these three ding-dongs.
Right.
Not wanting to deal with any of them.
Yeah, I could see it going that way. Yep.
Kevin Parker is in the back with Drew McIntyre. Drew just doesn't want to win this match. He has to win this match. Tonight is his absolute last chance to win for some reason. Don't know. He didn't explain that.
Yep.
No story here. He's just going to create the story of Drew winning the Money in the Bank. WWE Championship is next. Bobby Lashley versus Kofi Kingston. Well, Kofi got about 30 seconds of offense, and then it turned into Kofi versus Brock Lesnar. And wow, did Lashley make it very clear? Did they make it very clear that Lashley is a dominant performer? Oh, yeah. Including the return of the Dominator three times.
Yeah. I, as I was watching this match, I couldn't help but think of our conversation this afternoon when we talked about how Goldberg was coming in and that kind of stuff and going to probably face Lashley. This totally sealed the deal, right? It did. This was obviously here. It was only 8 minutes long. It was obviously here to make Lashley look like the insane killer. As you mentioned, Kofi gets a couple quick near falls over the start, and then he just gets thrown around like crazy. The crowd is behind him, though. They were totally getting into him and stuff like that. But, you know, he beat him up the whole time, and he puts him basically in that full Nelson kind of submission hold there until he went out and the ref stopped it. Again, as you said, it was the perfect setup match for Lashley now to go against someone like Goldberg. And apparently Goldberg will be on Raw tomorrow.
Goldberg will be on Raw tomorrow. Yeah, I'm assuming that'll set up that match. Do you think, though, because what we do have outstanding right now is we have a fluke win by Xavier Woods last week. Does Lashley have to destroy Xavier Woods now?
That'll just get completely forgotten about.
Okay. I mean, you're probably right, but nonetheless, they could have him destroy Xavier tomorrow on the show, and then right after that, Goldberg could approach. Or, I mean, if he's going to go ahead and destroy Kofi and destroy Xavier, there is another member of that team that could very well run out and help them.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah.
And he's allowed to now, considering what happens a little bit later. Yep. All right. The Raw Women's title match. This match was fascinating to me. This match was something that I was not looking forward to, Mouth. Why? Because I've seen it over and over and over again. And Charlotte Flair is really getting long in the tooth for me. Like, she's just out there so much all the time. I wasn't interested in seeing this. Neither was the crowd. The crowd wasn't interested at all because this match started, and you know what they were chanting?
For
Becky. We want Becky.
Right out of the gate.
On numerous occasions in this match, we want Becky.
Yeah. But they kept it up strongly. It was more than just a passing thing. They kept it up strong throughout the entire match. Yeah.
These two women changed my mind. I thought this
very stiff
was awesome.
It was really stiff. Woo! A lot of forearms, a lot of heavy clotheslines, a lot of heavy knee lifts. They're really pushing the power end of Ripley with those suplexes.
And that's where the turning point was. That's where the turning point was. With that funky way of getting into that suplex and muscling Charlotte up and dropping her in the suplex. And that was the moment that the crowd turned around, followed by all the chops, right?
Well, look at Jay. What did the chant become half by the end of the match?
This
went
is awesome.
From "We want Becky" to "This is awesome." So
these two,
I'm so excited.
Be commended for what they did here. This is the best match that they've ever had together.
I thought it was the best match on the show too. I really did. Yeah, I thought this was the best match because, again, I was very impressed by the way they were able to win the crowd over by just having this super hard hitting. Like, remember, Rhea also did that crazy German suplex at 1.2 where she almost dropped Charlotte right on her head. Like, this was nuts. They had the crowd back after Charlotte gets the natural selection. They start chanting, "This is awesome." Charlotte actually puts Rhea's knee in the stairs and beats on her knee for a while, then gets her back in the ring, puts her in the figure eight, and Rhea taps out. As you and I thought, Jay, sadly, Charlotte is now the champion once again. But it was a good match. And Rhea did look strong. You can't say she didn't look strong because she did. But I personally would have left the belt on Rhea.
Yeah, I mean, we did talk about that in the afternoon show as well. That's the program that I want to see if Becky is returning. I'd like to see her versus Rhea as opposed to Charlotte. But, I mean, Vince McMahon has a certain confidence in using Charlotte, so you know he's going to go back here. The one thing that does come up, though, is, you know, I saw someone post this on the thread with Charlotte trapping Rhea's leg in between the apron and the ring steps. Isn't that a disqualification?
That's very true. I thought the same thing because the ref was literally staring right at them when they did it, and he said nothing. No, absolutely. I don't know why there was not a DQ there, because there was no special stip on this match. It totally should have been a DQ. Yes.
So if that's the case tomorrow night, I'm thinking the first Raw back with crowds, Charlotte's cutting a promo and Becky's music hits.
Yeah. That would be the way to do it. That would be the way to do it. I mean, especially if she's already tweeting out pictures and that she was there and stuff like that. Like, there's no point in putting it off any longer. And you want to do the build for SummerSlam, get that started. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens tomorrow.
There's a vignette with Riddle complimenting Rick Boogs and calls him Shreddy Krueger. He says, could you imagine if Randy were king, he'd make sure no one wore pants. This was phenomenal. That was
weird. Yeah, that was weird.
This is so totally an inside thing, because Randy never wears pants.
That's right.
And I'm sure that they were just taking stabs at Randy here with this.
Right.
Because Riddle says Randy hates pants. I love this. I thought this was very funny. If there's a way to make Riddle's character work, even being over the top and ridiculous, it's by using things like this that people have said for so long about characters that we'll kind of clue into, as will everybody on the message board here and everyone listening to this. They play Randy Orton's theme together while Nakamura poses. Owens is behind them. He shakes his head. This is maybe the new Ron Simmons dam, I think, as Mark posted up on the board. And then we get into our Money in the Bank men's match. Owens, Riddle, Nakamura, Morrison, who comes out with Miz but tells Miz to go away, thankfully. Big E, Seth Rollins, and once again they show the cash-in at Mania 2015 when he comes out, and Drew McIntyre is the final person out. Now, you and I didn't have any problems here, but apparently everyone watching on Peacock did, or at least everybody on the Facebook thread did. There were huge problems here as far as people being able to watch this match, and numerous people were messaging me saying, well, I hope you really paid attention to this one and tell us what happened, because we can't watch it right now. So Other people were saying, if you closed down the app and opened it back up, your stream would continue on seamlessly, but you did have to do that. And let's see if people actually figured that out. But I had no interruption here.
No, I was
no interruption either.
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah, I was too perplexed by a Johnny Drip Drip chant. I couldn't believe it. Of all the guys, like, that shows you how hot this crowd was and how glad these people were to be back, that Johnny Drip Drip got a chant. Mark and I watched that every week.
John Morrison is one of the most entertaining guys on that show, even better when he's away from Miz.
Yeah, I guess that's it, right? I was just blown away by that he got a chant. I've never seen that happen before.
He's a funny guy, man.
But yeah, there was some, you know, I didn't much care for the Jinder stuff in this one, with his buddies coming out and going after Drew, and then Jinder.
Oh, it's completely predictable. It's a way to get Drew out of it, right? Like, you don't want to make Drew look weak. You don't want to have him. I don't want to see the program with Jinder and Drew.
That's
anyway,
what it is. See,
Drew wants it. Yeah. Drew wants it.
Well, good for Drew. That's the thing that I think for me, more than I understand what you're telling me, but it's Jinder Mahal, and that's the bottom line for me. I'm just not interested in seeing him at all. There were some crazy spots in this, though. Ricochet did his top rope walk, and then he jumped to a ladder, and he got knocked over by Riddle onto everybody on the outside. There was one spot where Rollins power bombed Owens over the top rope through a ladder on the outside, which looked absolutely nasty. And the finish was pretty crazy too, with Rollins and Big E on the ladder, and Big E grabs Rollins and gives him the big ending off the ladder, and they were a fair way up the ladder. Yeah. So there you go. And after that, Big E was able to climb up and grab the ladder. So there you go. Big E is the man in this one. I'm very curious to see what they do, because he was someone I did not think they would think about for this.
You did not care for Big E, because you felt this afternoon, tell me, you felt that he has too much comedy along with him. But this is, you know, number one, before we even get into this, I mean, you guys say that I complain a lot, but this match was excellent. This match was absolutely phenomenal. It was a great Money in the Bank match. I thought they did a great job tonight about erasing what they did with Money in the Bank last year. I love Money in the Bank. I think it's excellent, and I think it's the rocket ship that it could be attached to someone. And you know what? I wanted to see Seth Rollins get it for the storyline, but ultimately Seth Rollins doesn't need it. And someone like Big E can use this to move his way up the card for whichever whichever side he ends up on, because I gave you the scenario earlier that he could go after Lashley. But along with that, obviously he's on SmackDown and Roman Reigns needs opponents. And I think this is, even though it's a baby face, and I know you hate that mouth, I think this is good for him.
Well, we'll see. Exactly. It depends on how the follow-up goes, as it often does with these types of things. It's cool in the fact that it is a surprise and it is different, but I just want to see what happens with it. I can't see it being a major program, though, and I can't see him cashing in and getting it.
That's death for him if he doesn't get it.
But do you see him beating some? Like, I don't know. Like, again, I have trouble because it's a somewhat of a weaselly way of winning most of the time. And I just find it weird with a baby face having to pull those kind of stunts of two guys have beat the crap out of each other and then he comes out and pins one of them.
But it doesn't have to be that way. That's not necessarily always the way Money in the Bank can be used. It can be an honest challenge. It can be, hey, listen, I have this, and I'm telling you right now, I have this, and I'm challenging you at this pay-per-view.
I don't know. That's, to me, that kind of makes the guy look like an idiot to do it that kind of that way. It's kind of like the whole idea is to kind of take advantage and use it. I think it's kind of stupid to just go, yes, I will challenge you. Like, it's, well, isn't it? The idea is to kind of like, you know, take advantage of somebody with this.
Mark and Chris Gaskin are both on the board here, and they're writing, they're absolutely right. Rob Van Dam challenging John Cena at One Night Stand was an absolute perfect use of Money in the Bank in order for a babyface to make that challenge and have the crowd behind them as well. This is one of the things that's lacking in WWE with booking babyfaces, right? Like they don't really know how to get the crowd behind a babyface.
It's hard.
And I think that Big E doing this honestly and winning could be really great for him. And maybe it's not Reigns. Hey, maybe it is him avenging the loss of the other two guys that were there that Bobby Lashley already beat down. And maybe it is Bobby Lashley. Now, I don't know why Goldberg's going to get in the way, because I'd be more apt to seeing Big E push along, right?
Yes.
And then later down the line, mouth, you do a Kofi jealousy angle. Yeah, you could, Kofi turn on Big E.
Yeah, well, you could if you wanted to go that route. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm not quite as hooked as you are. I'm a little skeptical, but we'll see what they do. We'll see how they play it out. Because with both either guys on the title picture at the moment, I don't see either one of them dropping their title soon.
And mouth, with that, I think it was about 10:45, and I was like, happy. I'm good. I'm done. I just saw a great moment. The women's match was wonderful. I'm ready to talk about this. I'm ready to do the after party and talk about this.
Then you had to wait an extra 40, 45 minutes before you could do that. Because the match itself was half an hour. And then the shenanigans at the end. So, and this is another one where I just thought, the intros, they just milked the intros on this so much, man. I'm sitting here going, I was looking at the clock too, going, thinking the show might end at 10 o'clock. And then of course, realizing that's not happening. And then it's like, you know, it's 10 to 11 and they're like so slow with getting this started. And then the match itself was a really slow pace.
I agree.
Mean, like it was intense. I'm not gonna take that away. There was lots of great intensity. And again, I felt these two really sat down and said, look, we're gonna have a crowd. We gotta work the crowd. Roman interacted the most with the crowd I've ever seen him interact in a match. Edge was doing it as well. They were doing everything super slow and deliberate, constantly looking at the crowd. It was good, but it just went too long at that tempo. To me, it just went too long. I wanted it to end at least a good 10, 15 minutes before it did. I just thought it went on too long.
We also had a ref bump that took out Lil Nate.
Yes.
And then no other refs came down.
Not for quite a while. Yes.
Time.
Yes. Yes.
Along with that, I mean, the spot, I enjoyed the spot where Roman was going to be counted out. Instead, Edge went for another spear. And then Edge threw Roman on his shoulders to put him back into the ring so there wouldn't be a count out. I'm like, this guy wants to win. That makes complete sense. He doesn't want to win by count out because he wants the title. Complete sense there. Nonsensical for the referee. And then after that, it was just, let's open the floodgates and let's over overbooked the crap out of this main event.
Yeah, exactly, man. I mean, we have the whole history with the metal bar and that, so we had to have that. But this time we had to have Roman do it first. Then we had Edge get it from him, and Edge does it after that. I just, you know, even the, like, when Roman's got Edge in the submission holds for a long time, it was just... he had him in a headlock forever. I thought it was Randy Orton wrestling or something. So it was like, it was just, I understand the intensity that they were going for, but I really thought it was too long for the pace. It should have ended sooner. We had the Usos that come down at one point, but Dominic and Ray just ran them out of there right away. So obviously that's going to continue. Still no referee at this point. And then all of a sudden, Seth comes down. He corks Edge with a kick to the back of the head. I'm just like, why did you this? I'm like, this is just too long. It's taking way too long. And it looked like Roman was going to go for a spear. And then Edge did instead. And then finally, a ref runs down to count. But then, of course, Roman kicks out. The crowd, you know, despite it being long,
still into it.
Exactly. They're yelling, this is awesome still at this point.
Yeah.
Rollins comes down again, distracts Edge, and Roman pins him. And this is what really bugged me, too. After 30 minutes of intensity, that's your finish. That stupid trope of, hey, man, look the other way, and the other guy's going to pin you. I absolutely hated the ending after everything that had kind of gone through here. I thought, that's a really weak finish after such an intense match.
It became a match to serve a couple of other purposes.
The crowd. Absolutely. The crowd. They were playing to the crowd so much.
I was actually meaning that it became a match to serve the purpose of setting up Seth and Edge,
yep,
at SummerSlam, and set up John Cena and Roman Reigns.
Yes, because after that, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's not done yet. At this point, Seth and Roman kind of face off, but then Edge comes back. He attacks Rollins, and they just brawl off into the crowd, and that's it for them. And Roman, Heyman hands him a mic, and he's going to cut a promo. And those horns, you hear the horns, the ba-ba-da-ba hits, and John Cena comes out, and he runs down to the ring. And he didn't do anything to Roman. He just jumped up and down and posed, and everybody, again, I'm guessing they wanted, because they knew the crowd was going to be hot, they wanted to do it at this particular show. I mean, both of these things, I think, could have happened on the TV. But I'm guessing because the crowd was so hot, they wanted to have the Cena return here. And that's how the show ends. So there you go.
So it's, you know, seeing Cena out there, how did you feel about Cena being out there and returning now?
Well, we knew this has been, they've been talking about this for months, though, that his schedule's open and he's going to be at SummerSlam. So I'm not surprised by it or anything. I was kind of expecting him to show up pretty soon in some way anyways. But I find it funny that for their big show of the year, it's both Goldberg and Cena coming back, and those are going to be the attraction fights. I mean, we're once again in this kind of thing where it's like, well, we don't have anything to do. Let's bring back older guys and hope that works one more time.
Yeah, and also, so with Cena coming out there, here's what we had seen tonight. We had seen a bunch of guys kill themselves for Money in the Bank, as we always do. Really, no, not any jokey in the men's Money in the Bank. It was really intense.
Oh yeah.
We saw Bobby Lashley maul Kofi Kingston with complete intensity and determination, and actually push away all the jokey last Monday that MVP was bringing to the table,
right,
for him.
Right.
We then saw Edge and Roman Reigns have a really, yes, slow off the top. Everyone's saying that. I agree with that. But when it came down to it, the real intensity at the end with the part of the chair and all these guys just beating the crap out of one another, and Edge determined to win this belt just one more time. Incredible intensity. And then John Cena coming out, making fun of the whole scenario, walking up to Roman, doing the you can't see me.
Brutal.
Kind of, even the way that he approached Roman with the little sidesteps,
yeah,
it automatically became jokey. And I'm like, man, after what I've just watched tonight, after the 3 hours that I've just watched tonight, the joke is coming after. I feel like John Cena's character and this one that he's bringing back is more suited to do a vignette with R-Truth than his work a main event with Roman Reigns. Do you see what I'm saying, though? After all of this intensity, we get a joke as the button on this show.
And the thing, too, is it's always the last thing at the show that gets talked about and gets remembered the most. So, as you know, as you said, we've had Charlotte and Rhea had that intense match. We had the ladder match.
That too. Yeah.
So, I mean, that match was super intense. I still think that was the best match of the night. We had the ladder match. We had this intense match. You're absolutely right. That's the thing. Cena should have come out. I mean, you could play his music, but let's not have him do the jokey shit. How come he couldn't go out and just stare at Roman Reigns? Stare him down. Yep. Maybe even you could even stand in front of him and maybe go like, you know, give him the a couple times and then leave. But he did all the stuff. He gets up on the ropes. He's cheering the fans. I'm just like, ah, man. No, I'm not super excited to see Cena come back really in any capacity.
The crowd really took to him very well tonight, obviously. He's been away for so long.
They
were very
excited
to see him, and they were apt to cheer for pretty much everything tonight as well, aside from Tamina. I think Tamina's got the most heat on the show.
Yeah.
But that's about it, right? I guess Baron Corbin wasn't there. It'll be curious to see that the way that they take John Cena. I think he'll pretty much be universally cheered, but I can already tell I'm not interested.
Because you know he's going to come out and cut a joke promo too. Like, you know he's going to come out and cut jokes. He's not going to cut a serious promo. He's not going to cut the, you know, I've watched Roman Reigns terrorize the roster over the last year and a half, and I can't believe what he's gotten away with, and I've come back to write that. It's not going to be that. It'll be just like some jokey stuff.
This, to me, was a real stamp on Cena seems disconnected and feels like a character from a bygone era.
Well, because he is. It's like the Rock coming back or something like that.
Oh, but the Rock coming back is still magical.
You can get away with it, I suppose, but it is.
Get away with it, Mouth. I'm so excited for that program with Reigns that is coming.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Just what I said. Oh, God. I'm not that excited to see that.
There's a huge difference in the performance levels of someone like The Rock and someone like John Cena.
Oh, yeah,
and
okay. Yeah,
when
sure.
When The Rock comes back, number one, he's working with his family. You know he's going to want to make them look good. And The Rock is going to understand that jokey doesn't draw money.
We'll see about that.
That program has to be intense.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right, because I'm not convinced. Because he likes to be Mr. Jokey just as much as Cena does. So we'll see. I'm not convinced. Honestly, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of Goldbergs and Cenas and Lesnars and this kind of stuff. It doesn't really mean much to me for Rock to come back. I understand it storyline-wise, but it's not like, wow, do I ever want to see that match?
Oh, I think it's really neat for numerous reasons. Not only because he's a legend, but because of the family tie as well. I think it's really
cool. We'll see if they can make it work. If they can make it work, great. I'm not convinced yet.
I think he'll be incredibly motivated. I think it'll be really nice. I hope it happens this year, though. I really do think that even though
aren't they talking about for Mania this next year? Is it? Yeah.
Well, it depends on the schedule, right? I mean, this year will be Texas, or like 2022 will be Texas. It's kind of more appropriate to have them in LA.
It would be, yes.
But I feel like they need to get to this sooner than later.
Yeah.
This could be huge this year, because they could have Rock on the card and they could also put Undertaker into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Just don't put him in the ring.
Don't put him in the ring. No. All right. Now it's time to, we're going to bring you guys up. But before we get there, Mark Andrada, would love for you to join us. Mentioned you two or three times tonight and curious as to your thoughts on this. And if you do have a poll prepared, there is Mark currently looking a lot. Oh, he is on Tamina's arm at the moment. So Mark... what did you think?
It's where I belong, on Tamina's arm.
On Tamina's arm. There you go.
I do have a poll. I have a match of the night poll. Nothing crazy this time.
What would your match of the night be?
Oh, geez. I think the men's Money in the Bank. Although that I'm with you, Dan. That Flair Ripley match was really close. My problem with it is the finish. I just don't. you know what? All I could think again was, wasn't it Triple H that said, just give it time. We'll, yeah. Rhea will get her, like, let the story play out. Well, the story's played out, Triple H. Where's Rhea's win that you promised me, you ass? You know, like, it just, it, I didn't need Charlotte to win that match. And yeah. I think that Becky versus Rhea would have been much more yep. interesting if that's the yep. direction they wanted to go. So, you know, that, so my match of the night, because of that finish, my match of the night is Money in the Bank, the men's Money in the Bank. Although that spot with Alexa Bliss hypnotizing Selena Vega. Boy, I liked that.
I think you're getting your good versus evil. Now, I think that you might be getting your good versus evil feud as opposed to a good versus evil tag team, which is what you were hoping for with Alexa and Nikki.
Of course, right? WWE couldn't possibly maneuver the nuance it would take to have a superhero and a supervillain on the same tag team. God forbid we have a even slightly complex story. Hopefully it still pans out. Hopefully it still works out for me. But I don't know. I never really had faith. That's just what I hoped. And you know what? I think the audience enjoyed that that Alexa Bliss spot. For what it's worth, they were really behind Alexa. They were chanting for Alexa.
They were.
I think Alexa got the biggest. I think that Alexa got the biggest reaction out of all the women in that Money in the Bank match.
Well, she did pull an Elizabeth and take off her skirt and reveal what was underneath there, right?
But they were into her to begin with when she came to the ring, and then they were chanting for her during the match. They chanted for her goofy silliness. I think there's a lot of room for that. I don't think she needed to win, and she didn't. So that's probably for the best.
Well, I don't know if it's better than winner there. I mean, I don't think it's good that Nikki got the win.
Yeah, fair. I mean, well, I'll give it. Who knows going forward what's going to happen there? But yeah, that wouldn't be my first choice either.
No. All right. Want to flip this poll over? We got the votes in.
Let's see the results of this poll. How did people feel? Oh,
boy. There we go. So the men's Money in the Bank match at 57% of the votes. And then second, Flair versus Ripley. And third was the main event tonight. Two people enjoyed the half hour. And then there was a vote for Lashley versus Kingston as well. That was on there. So there you go. I mean, that makes sense. Yeah, you got to figure that tag match to open up the night was pretty decent as well. But and that's the thing. I mean, we've mentioned a bunch of matches that were actually good on this show. It was just a little too long. And what did you think about the entrances, Mark? Because I know you have a bit of a different opinion because you do enjoy the technology and the pomp and circumstance of the entrances.
I thought that Kofi's New Day augmented reality graphic was just top tier. That was so cool. I think Alexa waving to Lily, that was idiotic and I liked it. I thought it looked cool. I was sad to see Lily because I'm really hoping that that was it for Lily. Like, I'm hoping Lily's done and that her doll just goes on sale for $5 so I can buy a bunch of them and, you know, make them into Christmas ornaments for you two. That's really what's going to happen.
Great. Put that I think they'd end up being cat toys if they end up at Lavransky's house. Yeah, and I'd give mine to my dog.
No problem. I will fill it full of. I'll fill it full of catnip for you, Dan.
What did you think of Ray and Dominic and their boom tube? Walking into the future, whatever the time. It looked like they had to do time travel to get to the ring or something.
Yeah, it looked cool. I thought it looked cool. I don't know if, thematically, I was a little baffled by it. But, but I mean, you know, if I'm not going to think about anything, then sure. Yeah, why not? Alexa's thing made sense to me. And Kofi's thing was perfect. I thought Kofi's was the best out of everybody's tonight. Much better than Asuka's masks floating around. I never liked that.
I didn't care for that either. Jake wants to know how you felt about Cena, as do I.
Yeah, I mean, it really just felt like an extra tag on this. You know, I wish that WWE had a way to do like a Marvel cutscene or whatever you want to call it, like post-credit or mid-credit scene.
A little snippet after everything's run down, yeah.
Yeah, like if that could have happened, I think that would have been better. Like, I would have enjoyed that more. you know, but they can't seem to figure out how to do that. I can't think of a way off the top of my head.
I always think it just shortchanges the two performers so much when they've had an intense long match and you send somebody out at the end like this, that's going to get all the steam. And really that's the thing everybody's going to talk about. And it's like, yeah, the match was long, but those guys put on a pretty intense match and it's kind of just going to be a footnote now because everyone will go, oh, Cena's back.
For sure.
There is a way to do a cutscene. I mean, there is a way. Think about it, Mark. You don't have Cena appear in front of the live crowd. You just have something roll on the screen. And it's the last thing we see. And all it is like an armband or a hat or something like that. Like nothing that is as notable. Because they would go, or like the little, whatever, the little thing that he has just unrolling in front of the camera.
The and towel, then, poof, yeah.
It goes away. The towel unrolling and boom, it goes away. And that's your cutscene right at the end, as opposed to him running down and doing his whole entrance. Like, save that.
Yeah. And to your point, Dan, about him taking all the steam out of it, I agree. And the thing was for at least for me, after the men's Money in the Bank match, there wasn't much steam left.
So yeah, yeah.
He took what little they had. Right. You know what I mean? I was already tired.
Right, right.
I ate a lot of pizza tonight.
Yeah. What's your potential for Big E?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm surprised. I'll say that. I didn't think he was going to be the one to win it. So, sure. If he heads over and faces Bobby Lashley, he's the third of the New Day to face Bobby Lashley. It makes sense to me. We'll all just pretend that win never happened with Xavier Woods. We'll only talk about the... cage match and we're good.
Well, he can destroy. That's the thing. Like Bobby Lashley can now go ahead and destroy Xavier tomorrow. I really feel like now that you've presented Lashley with Money in the Bank, what do we need Goldberg for?
Yeah.
I mean, Mouth was saying that this afternoon as well.
The minute I heard his name,
I don't get it. There's no need. You just built yourself a program if they want to go that direction. You got Cena on one side versus Reigns, and you could very well have Big E on the other side. I just get the feeling that they're worried about drawing in this giant arena at SummerSlam. So they think Goldberg's going to draw. Yep.
They're trying to fill the card. They're trying to fill the card with whatever they think. Yeah, exactly. They think that Goldberg and Cena coming back is enough to assure this. You know, I don't know. I mean, again, they should be happy because they're going to get crowds anyways. I mean, there's going to be a good attendance for SummerSlam regardless, I think, right? Because the very fact that people can go to a big arena show, you can travel and see some stuff, right? I think that's almost enough of attraction on its own. But I guess they really want to secure it in their eyes, and they feel Goldberg does that. Cena, I totally understand. Goldberg, yes. I don't understand. Like, even though I don't like Cena coming back, I understand Cena coming back, but I don't understand Goldberg coming back. Not at this stage of the game. Like, he's done, man. His expiry date is well past. I don't think he's worth anything. And the last two times in the ring, he has looked terrible, and he's almost hurt people.
Wouldn't it be great if Bobby Lashley Goldberg?
Yes.
It'd be amazing. Like, beats him in a minute. It would be amazing.
Spear.
It would be great.
And
the suplex. He does the same suplex. That's it.
And
done.
And gives him the hurt lock, and Goldberg passes out, and boom.
I'd love it. Now that would be good use of Goldberg.
You said his expiry date is so far past. I just imagined him as like a carton of chunky milk.
He is. Yeah. He's a bad container of sour cream, Mark, in the back of the fridge.
Yeah. Mouth would prefer his picture is just on the milk carton.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to, well, not calls, but if you want to have your say, raise your hand now in the Zoom room and we can bring you on up. Mark will bring you on up. You can turn on your camera, but you don't have to. We just need to hear your voice and we can respond to that like we used to do on the old timey radio. So by all means, we will do that now. Raise your hand if you want to have your say about the show tonight, or really, I mean, this is the one time when you guys do get to interact on a monthly basis with us. So it can really be about anything. It can be about SummerSlam going forward. It can be about tonight's show. It can be about AEW as well and something wacky Mouth said on the show on this week on All Elite Weekly. Anything you like is up for grabs. Raise your hand, and Mark, We'll bring you on up. Where shall we go to first, pal?
Let's go to Chris. Chris Gaskin.
Hello.
I'm just going to give you audio because it's faster. If I bring your video up, it takes a sec. So if you want video, I will just say the word and I'll do it. You want it?
I don't even have my camera set up, so it's fine.
Perfect. Okay.
All right. So Gaskin's on. So Gaskin, hey, you know what? There's a couple of ref bumps tonight, and I know you are a former referee. You come up each time here, and I get to talk about the refs. What'd you think?
Oh, hold up. Before I get into that, I do have a midweek markout beef. First of all, Pierce Brosnan is not the best Bond. You two are not jobs. Okay.
Who's your choice?
You guys said that he was. Wait a minute here.
Yeah. Your favorite Bond.
The best. My favorite Bond.
They said the best.
You guys are. Oh, yeah. You guys. Yeah. You don't know nothing. Crazy. Man. You guys don't know nothing about James Bond. No, man.
John Connery. You're going to say Connery, right, Mouth? Yeah.
Sean Connery, and Roger Moore. Those two, I think, were fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan. No.
Those are the traditional answers. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mark with his mustache that looks like it pulls people over on the 401. Come on.
It does. It does.
I love pull it. People it's over. Great. It's great.
Thanks, man.
I would say the one ref thing that you guys brought up with the Rhea Ripley Charlotte spot at the end.
Yes.
Those steps were not removed. Like her leg just kind of ended up in there and Charlotte kicked it. If I was ref, it would have been like if someone slid and got caught in the apron.
Okay.
Why I didn't perceive it
as a DQ.
Yeah, I didn't perceive it as a DQ because of that. And I really, I'm with Mouth. I actually thought that was the best match of the card. And that, I love that finish. I'm not big on Charlotte winning, but the way that finish was executed, I thought was excellent. The ref bumps were fine. That Charles Robinson one looked real rough because Edge did kind of come down on his leg. And like most of the ones that I take, it would either be a crumble or I'm getting squished in the corner.
Right.
And as a guy who's 5 foot two, I'm normally usually getting squished in the corner. I am with you guys on this. This show was too long. I was excited when I saw the time moving into the main event, and I didn't realize that the entrances and seeing it at the end would add another hour to the show.
Yeah.
Like it was a 30-minute match, and I almost slept through the first half. And I'm glad I was awake during the last half because their sprint at the end was a hell of a sprint. There was a lot of good stuff on that card, but just something, I felt something wasn't clicking like it should be. Maybe Mark's right. The nuances in the stories, or I don't know.
Honest, I really think a lot of it was the pacing. I really do. To me, the show just had this really slow pace through the whole thing with long intros and just and to a certain extent, you know, slower moving matches outside of maybe the Money in the Bank matches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a whole show. It had really weird pacing and seemed to drag on much longer than it needed to. That's what I felt.
Also, I got it after the 25th Applebee's commercial.
It was, they're so bad too.
Yeah, like terrible. Oh my God. Terrible.
Would Applebee's pay for that? Like they just, it's just so, so bad. And though Baron Corbin delivered his line well at the end, I will.
He was the only one who did.
Yeah.
Not to mention it made the whole rest of the roster look like idiots, basically, with, you know, what was Dolph wearing those weird shades and saying, hey, we're basically a bunch of idiots, like ridiculous.
Other than that, like I said, the in-ring action I thought was fine. I do agree. Pacing issues for sure. A lot of matches started out slow, but it's good to see a crowd back at the very least. I do wish they would have ended that show a half hour before they had.
All right, Gaskin, thank you very much for chiming in as always. Darren says thank Money in the Bank was paced like a WrestleMania Triple H match.
Yes, very long. Yeah, long and slow paced. Yeah,
it's unfortunate. You know, the pandemic wasn't a great time for wrestling, but you know, there were certain things that I was hoping WWE would learn, and I was hoping that they would learn that shorter shows can be better, because they've done this in NXT before as well. You know, you do a 2.5 hour show and you leave people wanting more. Wow. Leave people wanting more. And you know, they're not the only ones at fault here. I mean, AEW does ridiculously long pay-per-views as well. So it's just like, it's just too long. I don't know.
Well, remember and it's funny too, because remember just a few months ago, WWE had really, they were sticking like 2.5 hours. Like, remember there was that run of pay-per-views there for a while where they were ending quite early.
It was in the pandemic. They didn't have crowds. Long
extended shows. Yeah, I guess so, you know.
It's different now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? There was one other thing that cracked me up too. At one point, when the This Is Awesome chant went in during one of the matches, Michael Cole's go, "Oh boy," he goes, "we haven't heard that in a while." And I'm like, Bull, you play it every week. You pipe that chant in week on the TV. He's like, well, I'm like, what do you mean you haven't heard it? It was on the TV last week. So, anyways, that was one of Michael Cole's great lines of the night.
Let's go to our next Zoomer, Mark. Who else is popping on up and has something to say? Just raise your hand and Mark will put you on to the show.
What do you think of this? What do you think of this graphic?
Let's see.
Goldberg's on a milk carton.
Expired milk.
I was just going to say, it's gone sour. I'm not drinking that.
I had this idea that maybe WWE should start a line of foods based on a friend of mine who went to see a wrestling show with her boyfriend, and her boyfriend is very into wrestling and she is not. And she thought his name was Samosa Joe. Yeah. And I was like, that is brilliant. And then I thought, yeah, Samosa Joe, Ramen Reigns. And now we can have expired milk Goldberg.
Wow. What a dinner you're planning, Mark. I can't wait to come over.
Yeah, it should really be Gold Burgers, though.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're right. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'll come up with another graphic. In the meantime, J-Dub has raised their hand. J-Dub,
and you were in, you got J-Dub in Dallas. Were you at the show tonight, J-Dub?
Yes, I was at the show. I was the one that requested the Sunday Night Main Event t-shirt that I was repping there tonight.
Oh, yes. You were right behind the announcers, man. Thanks for wearing that. That was fantastic.
Oh, I missed. I didn't catch that. That's amazing.
Yeah, so I just been listening to you guys talk about the show and everything. It was really hot at the beginning, you know, the Usos, and then the pre-show was amazing. And then, you know, the women's, you know, Money in the Bank match was pretty good. But Alexa Bliss got the biggest pop for that. And then what was next? AJ and Almost, I think, was next. And AJ got a huge pop. The crowd was just nonstop chanting and everything. It's like it was, you know, you can tell we hadn't had a live show in a while, but that was great. The, you know, Almost is so green that part of the show was just kind of, you know, get through it and watch AJ try to carry the whole thing.
Yeah.
But the women's match, because the crowd was taking it over and kind of doing the We Want Becky, because she posted a picture of her in Fort Worth earlier today.
Yeah.
But then they just started working so hard, they turned it around, and then it was the last 15 minutes of it. So that was amazing. And then, then Lashley killed Kofi. Oh my God. Like, that was hard to watch. So, and then, what was next? The Men's Money in the Bank match. That was amazing.
Who are you cheering for in that one?
Oh, Seth Rollins.
You wanted the Seth Rollins thing that we had been talking about where he was going to maybe cash in later tonight.
Yes. I was hoping because they showed when he came down to his entrance, they showed the cash in from, Levi Stadium in like 2015 or whatever. But, Biggie went over real well. I mean, but boy, Rollins got a big pop too when he came out. And,
a babyface pop.
Well, what's interesting is he, the Usos, and Roman are all getting that kind of old school, like when Stone Cold was first turning and he was getting that kind of tweener, cool heel pop. There's a lot of folks cheering for Roman, a lot of folks cheering for the Usos and Seth, you know, because they all kind of got that kind of cool, and plus they can all work. Well, Roman, maybe not as much, but Seth and the Usos could work their butts off. So
I'm surprised though that Seth is getting a pop like that, because there's someone that, you know, you can tell the Usos and Roman have done very well over this time where we haven't had crowds, but Seth to me has been absolutely lost and this character hasn't been working. So I'm actually surprised that he was received pretty well by the crowd tonight.
Yeah. I think because he's such an amazing worker and everybody was just really into the match by then. One thing I was trying to figure out, because when McIntyre came out, he was either being booed or a bunch of people were saying Drew, but it clearly, it sounded like he was not getting the right type of heat that they wanted him to have. So, and Jinder actually got a tiny pop when he came out and started beating up Drew with the chair. So
really, that's surprising.
Yeah. It's small, very small. Just everybody, I think everybody more was just reacting to the moment, not cheering for him, but just like, oh wow, there's Jinder and he's going to beat up Drew. So, and then, but then, you know, I think Mark hit the nail on the head. It took him like 10 minutes for Edge and Roman to do their intros.
Way too long.
And the first 15 minutes, while there were some stiff parts to that match, it was so slow and rest holds. And, you know, I think the referee that was just on talked about the last 10 minutes were pretty hot, you know. And then I was actually going out the door when Cena's music hit. I did not turn around and go back inside because I.
wow.
I was going to beat traffic, you know? But yeah.
So in that case, James, are you not? What do you think about Cena coming back? Like, does that do it for you? You saw him tonight, sorta, maybe in your rearview mirror, but are you not? Are you looking forward to what's happening with Cena and Reigns at SummerSlam?
The only part timer I want to see come back is The Rock. I mean, Cena, I guess, you know, trying to sell a lot of tickets in Vegas.
Yeah.
Same thing with Goldberg. I mean, Cena, I guess, is the one guy that's never done a heel turn, right? He's always been a face. So,
he was heel when he started.
Okay, maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Cena was a heel when he started?
Yeah. He was the rapper when he was originally doing the rapper gimmick. He wasn't a baby face.
That's true. Bull Buchanan and him were a duo.
He was totally a heel at first.
I just remember him running out, and I guess, yeah. So when it was initially he was a babyface when he challenged Kurt, and then he returned as a heel.
Yeah.
When he flipped to the rapper gimmick. Okay.
Hey, I kind of forget that part of his career.
All blurry. We watched too much of it.
How could I forget? So memorable. Yeah.
But I'll just add again, the crowd, man, just hot and into it and everything. Even when they tried to stall the crowd out, they just wouldn't have it. So, and it was funny because there were these two big dudes sitting at ringside wearing cowboy hats.
Oh, we saw them.
I saw
all
them.
Night long.
Saw them. Yep.
Right. A big shout out to Darren again for getting me the shirt. He expedited it to me Monday. It got here like Tuesday or Wednesday. So really was looking forward to it. So, yeah.
Well, thanks for wearing it. That's awesome.
Yeah, I saw on the Facebook chat that there were a couple. There was more. I wasn't the only one there. I think there were one or two others that were there.
Yeah, there were a couple of people there tonight, which is awesome. Yeah, thanks to Darren for that. Darren is the gentleman who runs ballergear.ca. I believe he's in the chat as well. So thanks for Darren for taking care of all of our merch. And James, thanks for making that choice and getting that, buying it, and wearing it tonight. That's awesome, man. Glad you had a good time.
Thanks, guys. I'm not doing Raw tomorrow night. One of the
it's okay. Enough. Yeah, for sure.
Keep
the great work, guys.
Right on. Thank you so much. Well, Mark and I will be watching Raw tomorrow night, so you don't have to. I gotta say though, I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to Raw tomorrow night. I think that because let's remember, this is the first Raw back with crowds, and WWE is really compartmentalizing first SmackDown, first pay-per-view, first Raw, because much like we saw with the Hell in the Cell scenario, Mouth, they have got to please two different parents, and they've done a nice thing for Fox, and now they got to pull out the stops for USA.
USA, yeah, no, that's right, exactly, yeah. Oh, I'm sure Cena will be all over Raw tomorrow night, and Goldberg as well.
No.
Cena
challenges Reigns. Cena,
oh, so he's on SmackDown.
Right. They might show highlights tomorrow. Right. It's Goldberg. It's your call. You know what, Mouth?
Boy, oh boy.
I don't know if I can make the midweek marker. Maybe you have to watch and take over.
I don't know. Goldberger's. I'm into it.
There we go.
There's Goldberger's. And
he looks
right
like
there.
He's ready for a burger there, too.
Yeah. All right, guys. We are going to wrap up tonight's show. I thank you all for joining us live. And of course, Mark and I will be doing the midweek markout. We'll get through Rod. Should be okay this week. Mouth, yourself, and Joe Aguinaldo will be doing All Elite Weekly because, man, those shows have been great. Oh my goodness. You want to talk about how great a crowd is? You can say what you will about WWE crowds, but AEW crowds are just phenomenal.
They were pretty amazing on the show last week. Yeah, absolutely. It was an outstanding crowd. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to this. It's the second part of Fyter Fest this week, so should be good.
So Joe and Dan got that for you. Don't forget, Boris and Matthew will be back this week, and they'll be doing NXT Talk. And, of course, the East Coast Dads are going to be doing the second SmackDown with crowds as well. So we are full up and at them as we are each and every week. Thank you all for tuning in and listening. Mark, any parting words on your side?
Don't you dare miss it.
Okay, get out of here. All right, bye, guys.
Take care. Bye, brother.